listening to At Home in Connecticut, your guide to all aspects of daily living in Connecticut. Hosted by Bill Pierce and produced by WTIC. News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to the program. This morning, my guest is from the UConn School of Medicine, professor of family medicine there, and pediatric infectious diseases physician at the Connecticut Children's Medical Center, Dr. Henry Fader. And we're going to be talking this morning about Lyme disease. Dr. Fader, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
And Lyme disease has been around for a while. It obviously carries the name of the town where it apparently was discovered here in Connecticut. And just to get started, just to fill our listeners in on the basics, what is Lyme disease? And for those who do not know, how do you contract Lyme disease?
So, yeah, Lyme disease was first described by a rheumatologist at Yale called Dr. Steer. And he got a group of people from the old Lyme, Connecticut area that had an unknown arthritis, and for want of a better term, he called it Lyme arthritis for the town. And over the next, let's say, 6 years or so, it got defined. And what it is we have ticks in Connecticut called deer ticks, and they also called black-legged ticks. And when they're born, they may feed on mice, and the mice carry a bacteria called Borrelia burgdorferi, musical name, but it's the bacteria that causes Lyme. And the ticks feed on that mouse, and then the next season when they are nymphs, they may feed on more mice or dogs or humans.
Yeah.
And in the spring is the time that they are vigorous feeders, and if a human gets bitten by one that is carrying Lyme disease, then they can get infected. And infection is usually characterized by a rash at the site of the bite, and it happens 3 to 30 days after the bite. So a lot of people, if they get a bite, we get an immediate red rash about the size of a quarter. That's not Lyme disease. That would clear up. That's an allergic reaction or maybe just some inflammation. And then the rash of Lyme starts 3 days after the tick is gone, and it expands slowly, usually to the size of a baseball, softball, football. So it's a big thing if left untreated, and it may be associated with fever and feeling miserable, just being tired, having headaches, having joint pains, having muscle pains. If it goes away because the person didn't go to the doctor, and it can go away in usually a week, the next step is it's from the skin to the joints, especially the knee, and less likely from the skin to the nerve, like the nerve of the face called the facial nerve. It can attack that. It can attack the covering of the brain, causing meningitis. And the other place it likes to attack, but it's maybe the rarest one, the inside of the heart, where it can slow the heart down. And what's very interesting, if we go back to the 70s, before they knew this whole story, they thought it was maybe a rheumatologic disease. In fact, it was first being diagnosed as something called juvenile rheumatoid arthritis back in the 70s. And these people were getting treated rather than with antibiotics, with anti-inflammatories like aspirin and other things. But over time, most of the time, the body would take care of it and heal. And that could take up to 4 years. So people with Lyme arthritis, meaning swelling of the knee, that weren't treated, the arthritis would come and go for up to 4 years, but ultimately the body could take care of it.
What are the things that people can do in the way of treatment? Are there several options that they have?
Yes. The good news is there are three basic antibiotics that all work wonderfully for it that are oral. And one is doxycycline or a tetracycline that we don't use in children under the age of 8, and we don't use in pregnancy, but most people tolerate it. And the length of treatment with that is 10 to 20 days, usually 14 days. Another medication that's very well tolerated is amoxicillin, and that's also used for usually about 20 days, but again, 14 to 20 days. And the last one is a cephalosporin. That's a little bit more expensive, but is used when, for some reason, we can't use the tetracycline or the penicillin, and that one is called cefuroxime. And they're all used for maybe 2 weeks to usually a maximum of 4 weeks. So one of the problems or tricks of Lyme disease is, I'd say in my experience, 8 out of 10 people who get it and get sick usually within 48 hours of starting therapy, the better. Mm-hmm. And we finish, again, 2 weeks to 3 weeks of oral therapy and everything's fine. But some people, maybe 1 in 10, after they're all finished with their medicine, they still don't feel good. Mm-hmm. They still feel achy. They may still have headaches. They have a lot of nonspecific symptoms. And there were studies where they took these people and treated them again, and really it had no efficacy. Some people after Lyme don't feel well for up to 6 months, but ultimately most of these symptoms resolve.
Are there certain age groups or other groups within the population that are more susceptible, or those who may be affected even more adversely than others by Lyme disease?
I don't know that anyone's more adversely affected. Children will get more Lyme arthritis and meningitis than adults. And maybe children are the highest risk group. It's usually sort of when you're able to be outside. Where you catch it is grassy areas where there are ticks. And if people have a yard, one of the things to do is to keep the lawn mowed so the grass doesn't get too tall, and maybe even have mulch between the lawn and the woods, because the deer and the mice and the ticks are out in the woods, and a mulch barrier may decrease the ticks migrating onto the lawn. So the age is maybe 4 to 8 would be the ones that are the highest. And then there's another blip, maybe 20 to 30. But anyone can get it at any age.
We have just a couple of minutes left, and I just wanted you to get in a little bit to some of the myths and misconceptions about Lyme disease that are out there.
Yeah. Well, in Connecticut, there's certain communities where it's a real problem. I think the question is, how many people get Lyme disease and what is the risk? In the area where it was first named Old Lyme, Connecticut, I went into the schools in East Lyme and took blood from about 400 kids before and after tick season and followed them. And we found that the people who got Lyme usually was clinically apparent. Mm-hmm. It was always treatable. But the risk of the people living in that area was like more than 1%. More than 1 in 100 would get it per year. Mm-hmm. So it would be up to 2 or 3 in 100. That's the highest risk area, meaning a 3% chance per year. So if you live at a place for 30 years and it's 3% per year, that's like you have a 1/3 chance of getting it. Again, it's treatable. Then there are other areas where there's very little Lyme disease, even within Connecticut. Mm-hmm. I deal with people in a practice in family medicine in inner city Hartford. And at Elizabeth Park, there are some ticks, the deer ticks, but... Mm-hmm. For the most part, they're not infected. So seeing someone get Lyme disease from a tick bite that happened in Elizabeth Park is very, very unusual. And outside Connecticut, there are certain states in the Northeast that have it. But if we go into the South United States, no. Into the Midwest and South and West, a little bit in California, a little bit in Minnesota and Wisconsin, or maybe a little bit more than a little bit in Minnesota and Wisconsin. But basically, it's a Northeast infection from Maryland, Pennsylvania, up through really not as much New Hampshire, up to Massachusetts.
Well, I'm just quickly before we go, do you have a recommendation for people if they have been bitten by a tick, what they should do?
The good news is for most places in Connecticut, if you're bitten by a tick and you get the tick off before it's been on 24 to 48 hours, it would be very, very unusual to get infected for that. It has to really be on for 48 hours. So daily tick checks, showering after you've been exposed, DEET, which is a tick repellent. If you use 30%, it lasts all day long. Mm-hmm. All those are helpful. If you get a tick bite, you can read on the internet about how to get it off, and you have to screw it counterclockwise or clockwise. A lot of those aren't scientific. What you basically do is get a handkerchief, and with your nails, gently pull it until you get it off. There may be mouth parts left in, and you can either leave them in and they will fall out automatically, or remove them like splinters. And then if you're unlucky and you get Lyme disease from that tick bite, the rash will appear at that site in most cases within 3 to 30 days. In certain other areas of the United States, there are deer tick, but there's not Lyme, so there the risk is even minuscule. Some doctors will treat a tick bite. So if I deal with a patient that has a bite that's probably been on for more than 2 days and was removed, rather than wait and see, which is one reasonable thing to do, the other is give a short course of antibiotics. And one is this medicine called doxycycline, where you get a double dose, and that will, for the most part, protect you. If you can't use doxy, we, in fact, I was involved with the studies, we used amoxicillin, but we used it for 10 days, which is pretty long, but that will also protect you after a tick bite.
All right, doctor, a lot of good information there. Thank you very much.
Anytime.
That is Dr. Henry Fader, professor of family medicine at the UConn School of Medicine and pediatric infectious diseases physician at the Connecticut Children's Medical Center. This has been At Home in Connecticut. I'm Bill Pierce. Have a good week.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC. News Talk 1080.